Welcome back to the Awaiting Creation podcast. This is our guest today, Quincy Castello.
Hey.
What do you do, Quincy?
I play trumpet and... Oh, sorry about that. I forgot there's a mic. I play trumpet.
Don't let it fall.
And yeah, you kind of moved a little too far.
There it okay. is.
I play trumpet. I like jazz, preferably.
Favorite jazz trumpet player, dead and alive.
Oh my goodness.
That oh my God.
Too kind. No, and also piano, classical, but I haven't played in 2 years, but I still got my hand in.
Yeah, that's all that matters is getting a hand in anything.
So who's your favorite dead trumpet player?
My favorite dead trumpet player?
Yes.
I think we all know.
Davis?
Louis?
Chet Baker.
Okay. Chet Baker. Okay. Mm-hmm. There it is.
Favorite trumpet player alive?
That's a tough one. I just saw... Okay, I just saw Avasha Cohen recently.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent at Scholars, but I think for me right now, out of everyone doing it, I probably have to say Wayne Bergeron.
Wayne Bergeron.
I mean, just from studio playing, I don't know what else to. If anyone wants to aspire,
I gotta listen to Wayne Bergeron then.
I guess he's amazing. Everybody, check out Wayne Bergeron.
He's seriously
incredible, phenomenal trumpet player, like, great range.
Yeah, you can check out his master classes too. They'll help you. You're good.
You'll get better. You'll be excellent.
You'll be a master.
Oh my goodness. Watch 1 minute of master classes, you're there.
You're there.
Instant. Range is up like 5 octaves.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So Quincy, you go to Berkeley.
Yes, I do.
No way.
Major in at Berkeley.
Oh, it's Berkeley, dude. So I guess right now, okay, to be honest with you, I'm a little bit undeclared. But
that's going to be a good conversation.
No, I'm undeclared too, technically.
All right, so, but right now, I guess I came in with jazz performance as my go-to, and I think I still want to do jazz performance because I think it's just it's like me, I guess. Right. Like, you know, when you hear jazz, like, oh yeah, like you, like it's just, yeah.
That shit's
like,
swinging.
It's swinging. It's going. It's out. Like you, like I want to play that for the rest of my life. But also, I want to compose and not just compose jazz. But compose, you know, contemporary, well, it's like everything here, but just compose. Like, I just need to start and stop putting it off. And also possibly teach.
And you want to write for drum corps one day, right?
Oh, forgot about that bad boy sitting in the closet.
Everyone forgets.
Everyone has that one.
That one thing that kind of put on the back burner.
And then you're just like, oh, wait, shit, that was actually like kind of a good idea.
I wanted to do that.
Oh, shit, that would be fun.
I do, yeah, because every time you were messing with the Lydian scale the other day in your training, and all of a sudden, all these like lines from like I think it was maybe Blue Devils and like some Blue Cuds came back to me, and I was like, oh wow, like this is it that, you know, raised fourth. I was like, oh, help me. So, but yeah, you know,
it's crazy how like the things that influence you the most, even, you know, if they're not a part of your life anymore, like they come back to you.
Oh,
always.
Like drum corps is in my head all the time, always. And I don't spend any of my time working on drum corps music. At all. It's like, maybe I should, but like I don't spend any of my time doing that. But it's
like for
there.
Me, like I grew up playing like country music and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I still listen to it. I love to listen to it a lot. But like, it's just like when I sit down and I play like country, like I'm just like, ooh, I sound like my father.
Oh my
I love you, Dad.
Oh my goodness, I sound like my father.
Adam's dad is a phenomenal country guitar player.
Yeah, bass player too.
He is. He's incredible. Excellent. Very fun to play with.
Ooh, my Google AdWords Express. My page can show great potential customers searching for what you have to offer.
That's interesting. Wait, so you're doing ad spots or something? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing AdWords, which means that my website will show up in Google.
Nice. That's good.
It will show up in the most relevant searches and also more general searches.
That's really cool.
Like, every website shows up in a search, but. You know, if Quincy had a website and I searched Quincy Castello, like, I'm going to see Quincy's website.
Yeah.
But if I search trumpet player in Boston, I might not. That's true. Oversaturated.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah.
So it helps you kind of gain search engine optimization for the, you know, less relevant searches.
Yeah.
That will still lead you to the right place, which is cool.
That is really cool. How'd you go about doing that for yourself?
Yeah, that sounds like a big trick.
That's the part of this business that I don't like.
Yeah, dude, there's so many parts of this business that I don't like, honestly.
I like running a business. I like, you know, thinking about business strategy and marketing strategy, but like buying ads. I hate it.
That sounds like a bad time. You're gonna have a bad time.
It's really not fun. Like I have this great media company working with me, Star Stuff Media.
Ooh, nice.
Two Berkeley kids started this company with social media optimization.
Okay.
So they're working with me on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and Facebook to kind of leverage those platforms and what they have to offer. And they're like super great, but whenever I have to do any of that shit myself, it's like the worst thing.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's not hard. It's just like...
It's just tedious. You gotta keep up with it.
I don't see the result of that immediately. Like when I...
It's like an investment sort of.
Well, because every day, like for me too, because like I always like this summer I came out thinking kind of strong. Like I released a few songs and I was just I'm going to keep up my social media image and like really post a lot. And I find that whenever I do something like that, it's really hard for me to keep up with it. You know, keep up with like, you know, just like having like photos to put out there, just having like
updating like shit to put out. Making progress.
Exactly. You know, like this is what I've been working on. You know what I mean? Because I'm very private about it.
Yeah. I mean, I to be honest with you, I haven't even given a lick of thought. Sorry. I could not. Yeah. I just have not given any amount of thought to actually having a self-image. In terms of in a professional sense, because okay, I'm not really doing many recordings. I'm not much of a, like a self artist, but I mean, I don't know. I think I should at least have something like something started, you know, in the works. Like maybe go to Wix.com. Maybe
LittleWix.com.
Action. Check out Squarespace. Yeah. I use Squarespace.
I have heard seriously some really good things about Squarespace.
It's Squarespace. If you want to sponsor our podcast, let us know.
We got
really
you.
Though. We would not.
We got you, Squarespace. My website's in Squarespace. One of my old websites was in Squarespace. I used to use WordPress, and then I don't just like WordPress anymore. No, I just
WordPress. You're not allowed to sponsor.
Exactly. WordPress is really good for blog, but I don't release a lot of blog content, which I'm going to start doing. That's something we should talk about. I've been reading and listening to a lot of content by this guy named Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary Vaynerchuk owns a media company called VaynerMedia, and he owns a wine company called Wine Library. And he works at VaynerMedia. He works specifically in social media marketing with clients, like, you know, really upscale high-end musicians and like really big artists. But his biggest thing is that, you know, just create a bunch of content. Just like make things.
Okay.
And that's part of the inspiration of why I wanted to start this thing with you, Adam, is that, you know, it's just a way for us to get things out there and have a really good time.
Yeah.
And show people what our perspective is and learn the perspectives of other people and, you know, just get content. But what do you guys feel about blogging? Do you think it's relevant?
Honestly, for me, like, ever since I was a kid, like I'm more on the artist side of things. I'm super hard on the artist side of things. You know, like I just like I want to create and like I was talking to Mikey, I was talking to you about this the other day, like that whole Jim Carrey thing.
Oh, I keep bringing it up. I love that.
But it's just like for me too. It's just like every once in a while, like I get a spurt. It's just like I want to draw. I want to draw. Or like I want to write. You know, like a lot of my early like work, I should say, like any kind of artistic work was done like writing poems and like writing down words and just expressing my feelings, expressing myself, you know. So I feel like blogging for me is like it's something I've always wanted to do, but again, it's that hurdle of, you know, like the self-criticism, you know what I mean? Like this is cool to me, I like this, you know. It's that whole beast.
I feel that
took me forever to like break, you know, through of it in music. So it's just like it would be another thing to break through to, you know.
I can feel that
hard. Completely understand. It's like I was in a class Liberating Aesthetics. If you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard mixed things about that class.
There are a lot of mixed things, but one thing is not to take lightly is Wayne Wilde. He is a amazing teacher. I highly suggest you take that class if you have a chance.
If you're at Berkeley,
yes, that's true. Anyway, so like we were working with talking about self-referential, and how you know, art for art's sake. And it's interesting because I thought, well, I want to paint, but do I just paint simply because I want to, or will I just let, you know, my emotions and my everyday, you know, my everyday being just like go into what I want to paint? And I never really, and I've never done it before personally, but like I would love to get like a massive wall canvas and just like go to town. I mean,
oh yeah,
like but see, it's just like taking that first step is just like, well, I might suck, I might just be bad. It might not
even be because that's the stuff that keeps you from letting that artistic, that expression happen.
It gets in, it
the
gets
self-criticism in the way. Is what enable like doesn't enable you to express yourself freely.
Well,
yeah,
that's true. And one, especially if it's something you haven't quite done before.
Yes.
I was at a Litchfield jazz camp. I forgot my shirt on.
Litchfield jazz camp.
It's a great cat jazz camp, man. And one of Russ Johnson, who was a trumpet player up there, I was taking a he was giving some master classes, and a friend of mine said, "Yeah, he was telling us how we always beat ourselves up so quickly. Like you're doing something you've never done before and you're getting so mad, so angry at yourself for doing something you've never done before and not doing it well." What's the, it's like you're just wasting energy, man. And Russ is great. Russ is fantastic. And he was like, yeah man, you just, what are you doing, you know? That's like just take a step back, man. Just take a step back.
Like I have a friend who I don't want to say who it is yet because the content's not out yet. But she wants to start a YouTube channel and some other really cool business ideas. But I was kind of advising her on kind of the best steps that could be to take. And she was like, "But like, what if it's not good?" And I was like, "Whoa, you have to build it there. Like, this is your first time doing it. The way you gain the audience is by making content, and the way you get better is by continuing to make that content." Yeah. Like
regardless of like maybe it might not be as good or not, as long as you just get out there.
Right.
I think you just keep it constant and constant. Like,
my thing is that if you know that a piece of work is bad, then it's not ready to release it. But if at the moment that you do it, if you see it and say, "Well, I think this is really where I'm at. I'm really happy with the work I put into this." But you know, it's not Sammy Nestico's Arrangements. It's like, yeah, but you're 19 and Sammy Nestico is like old and he's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
If you just by hearing it don't know what's bad about it and you think you're really proud of the work, like that's where you're at and release that.
Yeah.
At least that's my opinion. Like stuff that I wrote, you know, 4 years ago is not good. But I put it out there when I made it because it was like the best I could do
at that time.
And I'm still really proud of that because that's where I was. And my writing has gotten exponentially better. I'm still not great, but like
you're somewhere.
I'm always trying to push the ball forward and like learning from little things. Because if I do something poorly, like I know what not to do again.
Yeah.
That's very thing. Important.
That's really interesting that you talk about that too, because like I remember when I was like 13, I think, for Christmas, I got a little like digital like 8-track, you know, it was like a Tascam D008 or something.
Yes.
And like it had like, you know, one direct input and then one XLR, and I was the happiest kid ever. Goodness. And I listened to some of those recordings last week. And I was like, "Oh, yee!" And like I put that online. I was like, "Oh man!" No. But you know, it's great though because at that time, that's what I was feeling, and that's what I was doing, and I was really proud of that work. And then it made put into perspective when I was putting out work now, where I'm just like, "Ugh, I don't like this." And then I compare the two, and I'm like, "Well, shit, it's not that though.
Right?
It's not that.
Yeah.
So you know, it's like a constant battle of just like." Pushing yourself out of that shell even further, because you get out of one shell and it's almost like there's another shell there.
There's always more layers.
Exactly.
And like that's not to say to not want to be excellent. Like when you if you know that something's not good, it means you're good enough to fix it. Like if you do something that's bad, you're good enough to fix it, even though it's going to take you a lot of work because it might not be an easy fix. But like the fight for perfection is a fight that's always going to be lost.
It's fleeting. It's just never...
You're exactly right. Like, I know a lot of, like, really top composers. I don't want to say any names because I can't remember exact quotes, and I don't want to, like, put words in people's mouths, but I know a lot of, like, top contemporary music composers and jazz composers who are like, yeah, I just kind of do it, and people seem to like it. Like,
yeah,
I just do things. Like, John Williams...
Yeah,
he's like, just play notes and the
it
director
sounds good. It just happens to be what people like, and that's that's what's funny. Actually, now that you bring that up, because I remembered it was when I think it was maybe junior year or senior year, and I had just done like a solo And I was so like, I was instantly just like, yo, that was ass. Quite frankly, I was like, that was not good.
Yep.
Are we allowed?
I'm not
going to be that vulgar, but for lack of better words. And my friend comes up to me, Adam Kogan, fantastic pianist and friend at the time, and he says, yo, dude, no, that was great. And like, you know, Evan Wright, who was a great jazz guitarist the same time as well in high school, was like, yo, man, that was good. Like, wow. Like, you know, that was, you, that sounded, you know, concrete. And I was like, wow, what? Like, I could never, because like, to the artist, I think it's just never really, oh, well, that's whether it's good or bad. It's whether or not you really accept it.
Right.
And then once it gets out there, it's up to just whoever, right, whomever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's
John Mayer has a great quote, and he says, he was given a clinic at Berkeley, he said, do you think you know more about music than the general population? And like, most of Berkeley Performance Center.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And he said, well, you're wrong, because the general population determines what is accepted.
It's
and determines
true.
What sells,
yeah,
and determines what is considered good.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter how many sub-fives or, like, crazy pentatonic licks you throw in the tune. Like, if the public doesn't like it,
it's not
not going to be the pop star.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does not take any quality away from the music, but, like, the preface to that question was, how many of you want to be pop stars?
That,
and it's like, if you want that kind of success, the public determines that. If you want, you know, it's all dependent on your audience. Like, we usually play in venues that kind of have a crowd that kind of knows about the music.
Yeah.
Like, we don't play pop music. Like, Quincy, you and I play jazz music.
Yeah.
You play kind of contemporary singer-songwriter folk-influenced music.
Like,
the audiences who hear that are better educated in the genres than kind of somebody listening on the radio to pop tunes. So if I want someone to come up to me and pat my back, if that's my goal, which is a really bad goal, by the way, if that's my goal, like, I know what I can do to get that.
It's okay. Well,
thank you. But like, I know what licks work for that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And like, if that's your goal, which if you want to sell records, that's your goal. That's your goal. If you want to sell records to a certain demographic, you need to hit that demographic.
Yeah.
But there's kind of this weird balancing act between the business of the music industry and your true craft.
Mm-hmm.
And the best people can monetize what it is that they do best.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Get people to buy the truest part of yourself instead of having to assimilate to a pop music culture or a jazz culture.
What I like to think about, especially in that instance, is I think I forget who mentioned her before, Bjork.
Mm-hmm.
And how she broke so many boundaries.
Yeah.
So many boundaries, and I for lack of a better word, I guess I worship just like her entire being and her entire artistic like aesthetic. It's just like, it's incredible. And every time, like, she doesn't stop or doesn't decide to say, oh, well, why don't I just go conform a little bit?
Yeah.
Just no. And it's like, nah, I'm good. And it just, it's there. You can hear it in everything she does. And it's just pure, raw, I think, emotion. And it's just like, just clearest form.
Like, me and my roommate a couple nights ago, Miles Waldman, incredible bass player. We were just like, hey, let's like jam and see if we can write some shit and stuff, you know, like, and hang out. We're living together, might as well work together a little, you know.
It's always the best relationships.
It was great. And I was just like, yeah, but like, okay, but it sounds like we need to go into a chorus here. And he's like, what? He's like, I'm a fan of like not having the typical structure. And it's always funny because, you know, when I was a kid, like, and I realized that, like, I like to write music, it was the first thing I wanted to do. I was like, I'm going to get books. I'm going to get, like, all the Berkeley books, of course.
All the
Berkeley books.
I have a box downstairs of all of the Berkeley books.
Yeah.
Like, every book that's relevant.
Yeah, I got one, too.
And it's funny because, you know, it's just, like, we're you know, we grow up with these, like, kind of, like, these norms, I suppose, of, like, what is acceptable and what isn't, you know, and... You know, it truly is, like, the people who make, like, like a true impact, like in the music community of the people that broke away from that and then had that hard path where it's just like people kind of, you know, a lot of stories that I hear of like artists who like started like doing weird shit, you know, they're just like, yeah, people weren't digging it all the time. Like
Dirty Loops. Dirty Loops hit, yes. You know, blew up on YouTube, but like a lot of the comments on their videos were like, this is shit. Like,
this is not
Frank Sinatra's rolling over in his grave. Like, but now, like, they did really innovative musical things. Like, their harmonies are fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, they're a great group, but you had to break through that perception.
Exactly.
Or, like, John Coltrane and My Favorite Things. If you haven't heard that recording, it's
That is my favorite recording of My Favorite Things.
Yes.
I have, and it has never graced my ears. Sorry.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it's so good.
But, you know, anybody who liked the Sound of Music version does not like John Coltrane's version.
Well, of course.
The general public, for the most part, does not like modal music.
For the,
with
yeah,
the exception of, like, Billie
Miles.
Jean and Dorian. You know, like, Billie Jean is the only modal tune that
has ever, produced by a label.
Even Miles' modal era was, like, super fuck the system.
I mean, if you, like, Boplicity, it was just, like, the bebop era, like, you know, I guess separated the hot from the cool, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah.
But still, is that what's, like, you know, sold? Not necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. but we hold it so dear now.
Oh,
it's so interesting.
Oh. Yeah.
Bitches
hindsight's always 2020. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. You're going to look back on something and see, wow, like, that guy was hip before anyone else was. Yeah. Like, he was, like, hip on that before anyone else was.
Gustav Holst.
One of my favorite composers of all time.
Phenomenal.
The most innovative composer of his time.
But it's like, when you look at the stuff that he did, though, that what he implemented, it's just like, who was doing it before? I mean, there was some...
But that's true with everybody.
But we're all standing on... Well, nah, you're right. Yeah.
You know, Jacob Collier, people did things the way Jacob Collier did, but Jacob Collier made it really accessible.
Yeah, exactly.
And like,
he pushed shit. Yeah.
And he knew how to leverage social media, and he hustled his fucking ass off.
Oh, yeah.
Then he made a record with Quincy Jones and Herbie Hancock. They produced his record. Like, the kid blew up in a year. The kid, he's older than all of us, but he blew up in a year.
That's like, it's actually insane. Like, and that's the thing, too, is just like you were saying the other day, like one of our teachers, Nicholas Urey.
He's great. He's going to be on the podcast in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. I'm so excited for that.
Me too. That's going to be a fun one.
One of our teachers talks about, like, you know, Berkeley, you know, kind of being like one of those schools where, what was it, like two categories, like two things.
The mediocre and the excellent.
You know, and I feel like that the excellent are the people who are just like, no, this is, I'm going to make this work. It's not like, well, I'm going to try. It's, I'm going to make this work.
Sorry to feed off of that. I think you're right about at some years and at Berkeley in the semester, there are definitely two apparent groups. I think it's that you'll have mediocre students get fire underneath them and say, you know what? I want to do this, and I'm going to make it happen. Right. And then they become the excellence
dude. That's so much transformation too.
Yeah,
it's not that he was saying that.
I think mediocre
students and excellent students
only.
No. It's acceptable to be mediocre.
Oh, okay.
It is an environment in which mediocrity is celebrated to a similar level as excellence.
Okay. Yeah.
Not identical. It is
like,
not at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't make the connections that you need to, and if you don't leverage the teachers that you have and go to office hours and pick the right lesson teachers.
Put in those
No one's going to force you to get good.
No one.
Yeah.
My marimba teacher, Nancy Zeltzman, one of the best marimba players of all time.
Mm. Wow.
She will make sure I get better.
Yeah.
Because she knows that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told her that. Like, marimba playing is not my everything that I'm doing, but I really want it to be a big part of what I do.
Mm.
And sometimes my fault is that I lose track of it.
Okay, yeah.
And I want you to be hard on me. Because I know that you're going to help me put everything in perspective and ground myself in this instrument.
Mm.
And that's what she does. Like, I asked her to really help me be excellent.
Yeah.
And, you know, give me the harshest criticism she feels appropriate. But if I didn't, or if I had a different teacher, not that there are any teachers who would do that in the percussion department, but, you know, there are times where, you know, you can get let off the hook a lot.
Yeah,
in all facets.
Mm.
Well, that's. I mean, I think we all have private teachers at some point in our careers, and I think a lot of times, like, we owe it to them for you know, been like, hey, like, they're calling us out on our crap. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Why haven't you, it's been like a week and a half and you haven't touched this. Like, why? Right. Why are you doing this to yourself? And it's like, no.
And we have the privilege of studying with these people.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And that's like, exactly the thing. It's like, it's not a right, it's a privilege. Like, I'm like so blessed to have the, like, the resources that we have. Like,
yeah.
Like, this, like, the talented, like, actual real world right now professionals.
Yeah. At our fingertips, basically.
Yeah.
Like, hey, can you help me? Sure. Yeah. Like,
I've literally called
teachers. Send an email.
I've called teachers and said, I really need help with this.
Mm. Wow.
Are you on campus right now? Can you help me?
Well, like, literally after class on Tuesday, we're like, hey, Nicholas Uri. I mean, it wasn't exactly that kind, like that weird. But, you know, we're just like, hey, like, you know, we started a podcast and, you know, we would love to have you on. And he was hip to it. He was like,
sure. Send me the details. I'll fit it in.
Yeah, exactly. And like, that's awesome. That's a awesome. Beautiful thing that I feel like is the real benefit of going to the school that we go to.
It really is.
Is the connection that you can make, not just with like your peers, but with like the people who are educating you. And it's really nice when you have educators that, you know, they see you as like one of my, like my harmony teacher, Vesela Stoyanova.
Vesela Stoyanova.
Stoyanova.
I love Stoyanova. Vesela so much. Vesela, you're amazing.
Amazing, amazing, amazing marimba player. But she just, like she said in class, I forgot where I was going. I got distracted. Okay. I can't even pronounce
Vesela
it.
Vesela is a beautiful name.
Is an amazing marimba teacher. I've had her for marimba and harmony. Ooh. And she's one of my favorite people on the planet.
Oh, she's so
great. So check out Vesela Stoyanova.
Bury Me Standing.
Bury Me Standing.
She has a group called Bury Me Standing.
She pioneered the marimba Lumina, which is a MIDI marimba.
What?
But not like a mallet cat. It's like way better.
Really? It's so cool. It's like this. It's like the shape. It's like the outer shape of a marimba, like squared off, like rectangled off, and like it's just flat. But there's like the marimba layout.
Yeah. Oh, I think I know what you're.
But they're not rubber keys. They're all, they have, there's a like capacitor in the key and in the mallet. So you can slide, you can, it's velocity sensitive.
And in the mallet, it's
actually
innovation.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And you can assign like a bass, like an upright bass sound to one of your mallets. And you can accompany yourself with a marimba sound and an upright bass sound.
I mean, that's when I saw her play in October, like when I first got to the school, like I got lucky enough to just get like free tickets because you know we go to the school and like it's so blessed to have that. And like I saw her and I remember watching her, like one of the sticks would be at the front where there's like a thing where she would like move up and down. Yep. Like
where
this.
You change the patches.
It is just incredible to watch. And she had distortion and was like rocking.
Yeah.
Like actually rocking, like distorted, like dun dun dun. I was like, This is the coolest
Vesela
shit
is
I've ever seen.
And her style is just so amazing. She's from Bulgaria.
I believe so.
Really?
She's from Bulgaria. And she like really embraces Eastern European music and odd time signatures. And her brother, Asen Stoyanova, wrote an amazing marimba solo called Surprises, which is awesome. Mm. But Vesela wrote a solo called Gypsy Road that I just got to play. And it's amazing. It's just like, I think it uses the harmonic major mode from the minor scale.
Ooh.
So I love hearing about scales that I've actually never fucking heard of before. I love it.
Tasty.
It humbles me so much. I'm just like, I have no idea.
There's a guy on YouTube. His name's Rick Beato. Rick Beato's awesome. And he's like a super theory head.
Yeah.
And he'll come out with like these crazy scales. Like, this is the Hungarian half diminished scale.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what this means. Like, I legitimately, like, I know all my modes and all my major and minor scales.
Yeah.
But then there's like
I'm a
whole
good
other,
boy.
Like, animal. Mm-hmm.
But like, it's like the Hungarian harmonic minor or Hungarian harmonic major.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't. I couldn't even figure out what that means.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's
literally no context clue. No. Like, very few context clues there.
Because it doesn't. It's not like the modes where it's, you know, an Ionian scale shifted to a different degree.
Yeah.
Like, it's not comprised of seven consecutive notes.
Yeah.
Because I think the modes consist of all the modes plus harmonic minor and melodic minor are the only combinations in which you can get seven consecutive notes without skipping or repeating a letter name.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't quote me on that, but I think so.
Mm.
I think you're right.
Because a scale is defined by its ability to fit seven consecutive notes without repeating. So that's why we have double sharps and double
flats. What's that one that's whole half, whole half, whole half, though?
A whole tone scale.
No, whole tone scale is whole, 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 whole. Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
All right. What's theory?
That's literally the only other scale I know.
But I think it's... I want to say it's half diminished. It's literally just whole, half, whole, half, whole, half, whole, half.
No, I know
what
you're...
And there's actually eight notes in that scale, and that's what makes like that one really interesting. I literally just learned it today.
Oh, but then you have like the blues scale, which...
Yeah, which has...
Has repeated letter names, and it's not... seven notes.
Yeah. Well, technically, like anything minor, just like it's like all chromatic, starting at like the flat sixth degree, like at your disposal. Like a lot of like people just.
Well, yeah. Compound minor is like 1 2 flat 3 4 5 flat 6 6 flat 7 7. Like it's messed up. This just got really technical, really.
Extremely in depth, and I was like, it's not that.
Let's
deep,
talk
fam.
About sub fives and diminished passing chords.
Let's talk about the super.
We're surrounded by music. How many hours a day?
Oh yeah, let's talk about the super Locrian scale.
Yeah, not. Oh.
Negative harmony.
I already had harmony. Like
we get a lot of views with negative harmony, guys.
Harmony. Let's talk about that.
Could this get any more Berkeley?
I know. Well, we just need like you know. 4 to 4 minor, and then it's Berkeley.
God. Oh, gosh. Berkeley math.
It's the Berkeley changes.
Honestly, yeah.
How do you feel about being a Berkeley student?
Okay, let's see. Do you...
Like when you're out, like when you're out, like with people, and they're just like, oh, so like you go to college or anything? Like, what do you do? Like, are you like, I go to Berkeley? Or are you kind of just like, yeah, I go to school in Boston?
Yeah. So I mean, I hide all my insecurities on the outside. I don't try to sugarcoat anything. Life's too short, you know. To be honest with you, I mean, it's interesting, and it's also I think I'd rather say I feel unique, not special.
Yeah.
Because because. Because I think for me, I'm not even gonna lie. When I came here, before student day or something, before like actual move-ins.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
First semester.
Convocation.
Something. I forget. Anyway, I came here and what? Oh yeah. All right. So I got here and I was like, wow, everyone's just like, huh? Everyone's kind of the same. Like, everyone freaks out about the same songs or the same things you do. Everyone...
This is super Lydian, bro.
Yeah, like... Oh, boy. Like, concert B-flat. What is...
It's like, bro, did you hear that new Moonchild record, bro?
Oh, jeez!
Bro, but Snarky Puppy.
Oh boy.
I love Moonchild and Snarky Puppy.
Yeah, they're both out there.
They're both, like, super hip.
Also, shout out to Wolfpack.
Oh, if I hear Beastly one more time.
Oh, gosh.
I love it. Don't get me wrong. I just, like, you hear something, you get oversaturated.
I know.
It's so hard.
ADHD. It just goes.
Oh yeah.
I think it is a blessing. Yet at the same time, it's like you have your you're almost like free. Like you're meaning you have any option that you choose to go in. Just like spin a dial and go. Like you don't. Like, you don't want to do that? All right, switch direction, switch gears, you know? I mean, there's also money. But, I mean, you got 4 years to make something great of yourself, you know? And, you know, I'll be damned if I'm going to let, like, you know, one thing get in the way. You know, and it's mostly just ourselves. Like, I mean, actually, now that I think about it. Sorry, I'm off here again at the jazz camp. first night, and someone said, oh, so you go to Berkeley. And I was like, like dying inside.
It's terrible there.
Oh my gosh. So it's like, so how like, is it tough? Is it competitive? And to be honest with you, I don't know if this is the way you guys feel about it, but I was like, the person to compete against is like yourself.
Yeah. It's true.
It's like,
I feel it. Yeah. For me, I totally get that because for me as I guess like for me, it's just like, not only as a student, but just like as a creative professional, like trying to be like, every once in a while, I have to put blinders on.
Only
look at what
it's
I'm doing.
Necessary.
Yes, because you know, like, there's so many great people here that like are at Berkeley or just like in the world at large in general that like I'm gonna listen to and I'm gonna be like, well, I'm gonna rethink my career direction.
Quit.
I get that all the time.
Yeah, but you know, at the same time, you know, it's just like if you, you know, a lot of the, you know, it's funny. Like before I came, like, and was surrounded by so many talented people, like. You know, I came from a town where, you know, like people like loved to hear me play like all the time. People like, you know, people knew who I was. Like I was around a lot. I played everywhere. Like I did a lot of stuff. And, you know, I needed that kind of competitiveness at the same time that I didn't need it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like I for a while, like my first year, it was just all like I was just staring at everybody. I was just taking it all in.
Yes.
I was like, holy shit, look at that person doing that. Look at this person doing that. Damn, that's holy shit. Like, I'm never going to be able to live up to that. Like, oh my God.
Like
I'm
never going to be able to like over there and you're like, oh, yeah. Like, no, but.
Yeah. So, Jacob like, for Collier me,
this is when, 22 years old.
Ugh, don't even say that. I'm turning 22 in December.
Yeah, dude, I'm only 21 and I'm like, where am I right now?
But, yeah.
You know, I'm not too far behind. Just maybe a few years and some soul searching.
I mean, hell, I mean, one of my favorite artists, one of my favorite artists of all time, Frank Turner. I fucking love Frank Turner. I have his words tattooed on my chest. That's how much I love this guy. Oh my
goodness, nice.
And like, he put in so many years of work to get to where he is now. And it's funny because, like just now in the US, I mean, he's from the UK.
Yeah.
But like just now in the US, he's starting to hit stadiums, like big places. Yeah. And he's like 38, 39. And like he has like 6 records, 7 records. And like there was so much leading up to it. Each record just had a little better production, a little more to it. You know, a lot of his earlier stuff was just really like him banging on his acoustic guitar and shouting and having shakers and shit and like all that stuff into having fully produced like studio records, you know. Yeah. And I feel like that's something that's really like really good.
Oh, can I ask you guys a question?
Yes, go ahead.
I think I know what your answers are going to be. I have very strong feelings about the subject. Is there such a thing as an overnight success? Can you make it from putting in no work to being the best?
I feel like there's such a thing as overnight popularity.
That's where I'm at.
Yes.
I don't think there's such a thing as like put it like there's no replacement for putting in the work and for suffering for your art.
Did Justin Bieber hustle?
You know, I don't know enough about his.
Wait. I would say Justin Bieber's a good example. I think, was he good like before he was, you know, known like vast, like by a vast popular, like, you know, popular count? I would say. Yeah, I would say he had. I mean, he had to have had chops.
He put in the work. Yeah, he had the chops. He practiced. He hustled.
Then there's, but see, that's the thing, though. I wouldn't say you can compare like, Kissin is a very like fantastic pianist. He was a pianist. Thought that was out of my system. All right. And you know, he was basically like an alien in a sense. Like he was just so good.
Yeah.
And it was just, and then you see somebody next to him that practiced hard for 25 years to get to the almost exact same level.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's just like, as long, it doesn't really matter, I think, necessarily where you start. Overnight
success, I don't think happens.
No, I would say maybe popularity and from that
sensation,
extent.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that absolutely. Can definitely, yeah, it's about always about timing
you
and
get
luck.
Recognized overnight.
Yes.
You do not get great overnight. Everybody who makes it hustles.
And plus,
their
we all know how like quick and fleeting the music industry is, too. Yeah. Overnight success does not mean that success is going to stay.
Remember Rebecca Black? Like,
you know,
yeah.
That's a really good point. I mean, Casey Neistat, a YouTuber, has a really good quote. This is another paraphrase, but. You know, he sold a TV show to HBO for $2 million. He was like, I made it. And he didn't do a whole lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So his success plateaued and then kind of went down. Yeah. And then he had to hustle again to get back up. Like, I don't think there's such a thing as making it.
Yeah. You just got to keep on
going. Once you feel like
you got to push.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because
you're
going to lose it.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm at a peak right now. Like right now, I mean, we talked about this on the way over. Like, I've got so much shit going on. Like, I got my classes, I got my own projects, I got the project I'm working on with you, I got this podcast. You know,
Big band record. Stay tuned.
Oh yeah, big band record.
Cannot wait.
Yeah. And it's just it's a lot. And sometimes, you know, at the end of it, I'm like, fuck. Like this is a lot.
It's a lot.
I'm like, holy shit. Like I feel like my heart's palpitating. I'm stressed.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, but at the end of the day, like, I feel like that's what's going to make me into the person that I am. Because for me, being successful has nothing to do with monetary, like, where I'm at with money or where I'm at with, things come and go, money comes and goes. Like, it's just the nature of, like, life. You spend money, you make money. It's like, people, it's fine.
Excellence always stays.
But that feeling within me of, like, if I'm putting out content and I'm happy with it and I'm proud of it and I can say that that's what I do for my living, that's all I really care about. You know, like, right now I have an apartment, I'm going to school, I'm working on my own music, like, I'm doing all these things, and I'll get jaded sometimes still. I'll be like, what the fuck, dude?
Like, what am I doing?
What am I doing? I'm not doing shit, bro. Like,
I get that way all the time.
You know?
Once a week, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
No, honestly, yeah, no, dude, fight is happening. Yeah. I'm showering and I'm like, yo, why am I, what?
Why am I even waking up to go to work?
Why am I doing this?
Like, what is happening?
I'll sit down at my guitar for like less than 5 minutes and be unhappy with what I did and be like, fuck this, I'm just not going to do this anymore.
I quit my whole life.
But you know, all of it's done. But you know what's funny though? Is like, you hear a car honk or two car honks and you're like, wait a minute, that was a, and you're like, I belong here. Like,
was that a third? Whoa. Was that a major third?
Yeah, we were discussing the interval between my mini fridge and fan.
And the fan, yeah, I cannot believe it.
We were like, this is a quarter tone between a minor third and a major third.
Jeez, microphone.
Oh my god.
Do you guys believe that success and excellence is a process? And it's a process that anyone can do if you work hard enough.
I think anyone can do it. I feel like it's just like people's own capacity. For me, like, I had hurdles, like, with just personal things like anxiety levels and like just like dealing with myself as a person. I feel like the more you work through your own kinks as a person, it makes you more open and available to achieve the things that you want to in your life.
Absolutely. No, I think that's very true. I like to think of it like love. Like, if you're, like, one of my friends said, well, look, if you can't be comfortable and happy, well, I don't have to use happy anymore. I just say content. Yes. Happiness is great. Yeah. You can reach that, I believe, to some extent. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're able to, like, love yourself before you love another human being, you know, it's like, then you yourself are complete. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be applied to, I think, anything. It's just like, and with success, thankfully for my dad, he instilled in me what hard work is and what it, and I think for me, I've always been a little bit scared of putting 100% into something because I've always been afraid. I think of just like, really, can I do it? Like, I always would, let me try to write this. Oh, I messed up. I'm not gonna try again.
Right.
I'm literally laughing because, like, I go through that like once or twice a day where I'm just like, am I even gonna be able to do that?
Like, I did that this morning.
Yeah.
I was like, I wasn't even trying to write music. I was sitting down writing an email about business, about my company.
Oh my god.
And I was like, I was writing this email about like very particular technical business shit. And I was like, what if I never come up with a good, interesting compositional idea ever again?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm writing an email right now. What is this?
Ruminating thoughts. I just wasn't here like 2 seconds ago.
What do you guys think that comes from?
I think, to be honest, as musicians, I feel like there's like a spectrum of where, like, you've seen that cartoon of a dog sitting on a table and like and the entire room is just on fire and it's like, this is fine. I just feel like that is basically in a nutshell what it means to just like be a musician. I think like the other day,
it's fine, everything is fine.
Like,
I think I'm gonna name my first actual record that.
Everything is fine.
I'm okay, seriously, don't worry. Like,
yeah. But like, I want the cover to be like super me being like,
oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, everything's fine.
I think that when you're a person who wants to be great at something, and you really just want to be excellent for the sake of being excellent, not because of what it means, but for the fact that you can, that's the only way you're gonna be able to live with yourself when you go to sleep at night.
Like, oh, jeez.
No, like, yeah, no,
that's what, like, the true fight for excellence is. It's not about money. It's not about what people think. Like, fuck what people think.
Honestly, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's what you, yeah.
I feel that it's a fear, at least from what I've experienced, it's a fear of leaving this earth, dying, and having nothing to show for it.
Mm. Honestly, that's part of it. Like, I want to know, like, part of me sometimes feels like I could, like, if I, okay, this was just, please, super, maybe weird. If I died tomorrow, I would honestly not have many regrets. And I say that meaning, have I achieved something? Not like great or tremendous? Mm. Not yet. But have I lived and understood life better than I think like now than I ever have in my entire life? I would say yes. And I think that's enough for me to say, you know what? I'm all right with this. Like, I would be content. Mm. But
for sure.
But I don't know. Go ahead, Dad.
Mm. I was having, it made me think of, like, I was having a conversation the other night, actually, it was actually right after we did the podcast with Nick. I went back to Nick's place, and, like, it was just, we're having a get-together, it was a good time, and I've been feeling really scared and blocked lately, as people do every so often, and I saw someone there, Maya Hackett, incredible singer, yes. Incredible musician in general. She's just perfect. Yes. Oh,
she's so great. I love her.
And I was nearly in tears, and I don't even know why. I looked at her and I was just like, I'm like so happy to see you. And like we just had a conversation, and she had said to me that. Like you come, you go to class and like they ask you a few things like in the first day of class, all that bullshit, And it's just like, so why are you at Berkeley? Like what do you want to do it's here? And everyone's always like, oh, I want to like, and me too, I'm guilty of this. I'm like, oh, like I want to like improve my writing. I want to improve my recording and producing and stuff, producing and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, like she looked at me and she's like, no, I'm here to save my life. Because at the end of the day, and that's how I feel. Because if I don't, as like me as a person, for me, if I don't do music and don't release that part of myself, I feel like I have nothing.
Exactly.
And that's an honest feeling because I'm never going to be happy with anything else in my life unless it has to do with me releasing content and bearing my soul on my sleeve.
Exactly.
So I couldn't live with myself doing anything else, So why am I here? I'm like, I'm here because if I wasn't here, I'd want to die. If I wasn't pursuing this part of my life, what I mean?
Yeah, because I think for all of us, when I hear someone's original work, I like to think of it as you're bearing your soul. And I think that's something very, very crucial that I think musicians and art, I think actually artists as a whole are able to do and do well. Better like just communicate that better than the populace, And I think not saying everyone can try or not try, I encourage it. But I think for some reason we have, I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what.
It's a blessing and a curse.
It's like a gene. I mean, I'm not saying that we're all that, but
we're not.
Like, it's kind of like we live in a world right now where everybody is a freelance something.
Yeah.
But not everybody has something to say. Everybody is a freelance photographer and freelance videographer and freelance all these things. The word freelance is like so, it's encompassed like what a small business is now.
Yeah.
Like people don't understand that you can have a small business and be just yourself and not have to call yourself freelance. Like, we have so many people just, like, grasping at straws to find the next cool thing to do, and nobody has anything to say.
Exactly. There's no really good statement. It's just like,
right. And then,
exactly.
And then you look at, like, the best musicians and the best filmmakers and the best photographers and the best journalists and creative writers and all of the other creative fields that I'm kind of not thinking of right now, like the best of those people always have something to say. And I'm not saying it's like a political or social statement, but like they're telling a story. That's what all of these fields are. Mm. If you're a photographer, videographer, film editor, whatever you do,
cinematography,
you're a storyteller. Yeah. We are musicians. Damn right. I write little black dots with lines on them on a page. And my job at the end of the day, whether or not I deliver on that,
is to make you feel something.
Is to tell the story and to make you feel something intentional. Not to just have my notes make you feel something, but to guide you in the right direction of what to feel.
That's right. Like, even, like, sorry, I keep on going back to liberating aesthetics. This is changing.
Yeah,
if, it's like, fantastic. Like, it's just like if you looked at a piece, let's say if you looked at, I'm trying to think of a really good piece of art right now. They're all great.
Moonlight Sonata.
Jupiter by Gustav Holst.
Oh, of course. I was thinking of a painting, but it's okay.
Drops of Jupiter. You can use either
way. Oh, my goodness.
Only the epitome of true art.
Yeah, if you look at the Mona Lisa, and we all have three separate...
She has no eyebrows.
She does not. Think about that.
I'm definitely going to look that up.
Oh, my goodness.
Someone's probably already going to
be doesn't, I promise.
And let's say, and but that's the thing, like, they, oh, now, do you think Da Vinci was like, you know what, I want them to feel this when I look at this painting. I don't think that's what, I don't think as an, like, if for an artist and as a consumer, I think that's the artist letting us have that, that freedom to make up for our own minds what they think about it. Whether the person next to you may have a totally separate, oh my gosh, she has no eyebrows.
She's no eyebrows, totally guys.
I forgot about that.
Everyone's got to look this up immediately.
Everybody, no eyebrows.
If you didn't know, because a lot of you probably do know, if you didn't know, the Mona Lisa doesn't have eyebrows, and it's really trippy if you didn't know that and then you look it up.
But look how radiant. Look how radiant she is. She's just angelic. It's
and when you look at her, you don't notice that she doesn't have eyebrows.
You don't. No. But I think it's because of the shadowing of the upper...
upper eye it's region?
The shadowing.
I don't know.
The impeccable brushwork.
You know why... You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Speaking of this, and the particular language I just used, I was having a conversation on the phone with Sam Nixon. Sam Nixon, check him
out. Sam, I love Sam.
And he and I are business partners, and we work together. And he was telling me what someone in, like, a big music industry meeting said to him. And it was, like, so flowery and bullshitty. It was like, this song is a vignette. It does not quite tell a story. And it's like...
A novel?
It's like the little... It's a sentence, and it has the right structure, but it doesn't mean anything. Like, it's just music. It's just bullshit. Now, if any of...
Like, okay, so... His music... listen, the one thing I will say about Sam Nixon, I fucking love how honest and raw his music is. Because I feel like that... And I could be way off, and I'm sure that there's so many people that would be loved to, like, jump on me about this, but, like...
It's just a vignette.
But it's, like, people don't... It's just, like, people, like, invest, like, they love the music, like, and they love that, but I feel like back in the day, like, you weren't just loving the music, you were loving the actual person. Right. Like Bob when, Dylan. Like, for me, like country roots, like, okay, so, like, George Strait and, like, Merle Haggard and, like, all them fuckers.
We talked about him
last week. Yes, it's like, you didn't only love the music, you knew that the music pertain to them.
Yeah.
And it's something there, that they, and it's there, and it's there, and whether or not they refer to themselves as themselves is not
that's kind of beyond the point.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, like some of the songs that I've written, I have a song called You Don't Have to Run. It's out on SoundCloud if you want to check it out.
It's fantastic. Yeah, nice Lydian intro.
Lydian intro.
Oh my goodness.
Well, how about that?
That's like a song for me that like I wrote about my ex. I was like, wrote it as I was speaking to my ex, but I didn't even know, come to think of it, when I looked back. Actually, my therapist had brought it up.
I'm a therapist too.
She literally just looked at me and she's like, are you sure you aren't talking about yourself, Adam? And I was like,
you're right. Oh, God.
She was so right, you know, and you know, like the people, you know, like when I listen to an artist, I want to know who they are.
Yeah.
I want to know who they are as a person. I want to know what they've been through. I want to know just what's hip, like what's going on with them.
Exactly. And what's hip right now is You Don't Have to Run.
Now, see, I know Mike is doing this because it makes me uncomfortable. And see, that's a good thing.
It's good to be pushed out of your boundaries every once in a while.
I'll actually be releasing a song within the next week called Without You. And, like, I'm really excited about that. I'm not going to be silent through this.
It's a very nice Lydian intro.
I wrote this song like a year and a half ago, and like I feel like I've just heard it so much.
Me too. I listen to it a lot. Ooh. We're not gonna play all of it because we can't get good sound.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
Check it out, please.
Wow, that was.
Also, just a reminder, Nick Leon's record comes out this Sunday.
Oh, shit, dude. Nick Leon's record.
Monday, Tuesday. You gotta hit that up.
Monday, Tuesday comes out on Sunday.
Cop that as soon as it comes out.
Oh, I'm gonna cop that.
I love that song. I'm gonna purchase that. Mm. I'm gonna straight up purchase the hell out of that.
I think I'm just gonna try to buy a record from him.
Dude, honestly,
if they're making CDs, I'm gonna buy one.
That's exactly like the point.
Is he making vinyl?
How do you guys feel about that? Like, I love spending... money on my peers and on the artists that I like.
Yeah.
You know, because in the age of this, free me, like Spotify, like $10 a month or like $5 for students.
Don't
forget
about those damn fucking licenses and rights.
I use Spotify, but I think it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
It's not Spotify's fault. I think the infrastructure in the industry isn't there.
Yeah.
Like, Netflix has a hold on how to do the streaming thing for TV and movies. Like,
they're good.
License holders get paid a ton of money to have things on Netflix. But that's not the case for Spotify or iTunes or Apple Music. Like, what the fuck? Like, why does the guy who owns like a third of the license to Friends, which they made 15 years ago, still getting paid a ton of money when Taylor Swift releases a new record and can hardly get any royalties off of any of the streams?
That's an interesting discussion.
I'm not educated enough to like really.
I know, neither am I. I really wish I had a better background. In fact, I think I suggest every musician that comes through Berklee to take, I think not just Intro to Business, I forget what the class specifically is called, but it goes over their like how to basically kind of like if you're gonna market yourself and protect yourself as an artist and selling your own work and making sure that you get compensation for it, correct compensation.
Of course.
I think that's just very, that's vital. That's just vital now.
Do you guys view yourself as a business? Both of you separately.
Oh my.
No, this is a legit question.
No, I know it's a legitimate question. It's just I don't take myself seriously enough to see myself as a business.
Have you ever made money making music? Ever doing anything?
Yes,
in music.
Yes, I have. Like, you know, I've played
I'm sorry
gigs.
Sorry to let you know.
I've actually, that's the thing, it's true. I was actually having this conversation with my dad the other day, like a couple weeks ago. I was just like, Dad, how much money did you make playing music before?
$4.
How much? I was like, how much money do you think you made, and do you think that at a certain point it would have been a good time to notify the IRS?
And
would you have?
I don't want to have this conversation right now.
I can't do it. I can't.
We're not gonna go there.
That goes with like, my dad played his way through college playing in bars. I think it was a quintet
and
a
didn't
quartet.
Pay any taxes.
I mean, my dad
played his way through college, but we can't do that now.
Yeah. No, pay your taxes, people.
Yeah, pay your taxes.
Please pay them. I know important. It sucks, but pay them.
Fuck the system. Don't do it.
Don't
listen to Adam. Pay your taxes.
They will come after you.
They will.
And,
it's not good.
Just be Willie Nelson and not give a fuck no matter what.
No, don't do that.
No.
Yes, please.
Laws are there for a reason.
Floyd Mayweather. Like, Floyd Mayweather owes the IRS $25 million. He just made $350 million last month.
I'm going to be over $250,000 in debt when I leave Berklee. I'm basically in debt to the world at this point.
Yeah, but you don't owe taxes on the loan. You only owe taxes on other income.
Well, that's true, but it's still money that I have to give back.
You're also a business, which means that all of your loans are expenses, which means you don't pay taxes until you start making a profit, until your net is higher than zero.
For anyone like me, you need to find yourself a person like him to keep you in check.
Watch your back, man.
Don't fuck the IRS, because they will fuck you.
I'm still gonna
They don't even care. They don't care that you have three children,
five jobs.
They don't care that you're sick. I mean, they don't. I mean, no. I mean, it's
they don't
business.
Care that Jimmy
really
can't
don't.
Get his surgery. Okay.
Like, I mean, it sucks, but the law is. It's tough out there, man. It's tough.
It's a tough business.
It's tough.
Mm.
Why are we talking about taxes?
How do
we?
I don't know.
Why are we? I don't know anything. I don't even pay my
own. You were talking about your dad, about when he should have paid taxes. When
But yeah, like, I think one of the biggest faults of people at Berklee is, and really just the young musical community
as a whole, and this is totally my opinion, is that people don't realize that they're business, and from day one they have to treat themselves like it. Like,
see, I joke around a lot about it, but at the end of the day, like, when I think about going about things in my life, it's less of me thinking of like a business, but at the end of the day, it's just like, I know it's like a friendship with every audience member, with every fan. You know what I mean? And for me, like, when I go about my music, you know, I'm all about, I'm never, and I will, you can quote me on this, anyone out there, I will never pay to get likes. Like, fake likes. I will never in a fucking million years pay to get like more spots. Like,
no.
It's just I want it to be organic, because for me, like I said, I want to bring back like the focus on the artist.
Yeah. I want to stand up on my own shoulders.
Right. I want these people to know that, like, I'm playing the music and I'm bearing my soul, and that after the show, you can come and hang out and talk to me and hang out.
Like, I'm a real human being. I'm not just some guy on a poster, you know.
I'm not here for you. I'm here for me. And we can do this together.
Exactly.
You know, I don't owe anyone.
To that note, there's a big misconception about social media optimization. A lot of people think that, you know, if you work with someone to try to build your brand, that you're just going to get, you know, a click farm in Thailand to like your Instagram page 1500 times. Like, no, what social media optimization does, which is like super important, is it reaches out to people who might like your stuff and says, check out the stuff.
Yeah.
Through the process of following and unfollowing and direct messaging, like
I'm talking more about, you know,
like buying clicks,
the shit, like,
which is super easy, by the way.
Yeah, you can literally just pay like $10 and then just like instantly, like within an hour, it's just like 100 more likes. You can
buy Spotify plays.
Yeah,
and get royalties on them.
Okay, this is a little bit new for me. I mean, I guess who's gonna say they're not real? I don't know.
Well, as soon as you look at the page and see they haven't posted in 16 years.
There's so much shitty popular, like, and not just pop. Like, I love pop music. See, that's the thing, is I love all kinds of music. I love jazz music. I love classical music. I mean, I grew up playing
folk.
Yeah, I love folk music.
Of course, I know.
I love folk music. Some Bob Dylan. It's all over now, baby blue. But yeah, no, I just think it's very important to keep things organic and natural, you know? Yeah. I don't care, like, if I have the same amount of material possessions in 10 years,
I would be okay with that.
I'm fine.
See, I'm a little bit more materialistic than you. I really like money.
Again, find another person to keep you.
I will never.
So get that tissue box from 5 years ago?
If I wanted money, and only money, we wouldn't be on this podcast.
That's true.
And I wouldn't go to Berklee College of Music.
That's fucking true. I took so much money to be here.
That is so much money, and the opportunity, the likelihood that you make even that much back in the next 10 years is like super high.
So
it's so fucked up.
10 years, 20,
30. I'm an arranger.
I love you.
You'll make it. Big band music.
I believe in you.
There's a big band record coming out.
No one needs big band music.
Yeah.
No one does.
I wish it was more popular. I wish I could try and bring it back a little bit. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, as I believe from. From Amadeus. Too many notes.
Amadeus.
Too many notes for the ear, too.
Indeed.
I mean, but I don't know.
Do you guys feel like that you...
I like pop.
So, like, for me, like, when I'm writing, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I have songs... It's funny, because, like, I write very much in the songs. Like, I haven't gotten to a point in my work yet where I'm thinking about, like, conceptualizing an album.
Man.
Like, I feel like I don't have the capacity yet as an artist to sit down and think about, like... Like writing all of my all this work and knowing that it's all gonna go on an album and it's all gonna have the same kind of feeling and like the same kind of whether it be a concept album or, you know, like I've read a lot, which it's something I'm undoing all the damage I did when I was a kid now of reading so much and being like, oh, that's the rule of thumb, you know what I mean, and just sticking to rule of thumb.
Yeah.
But I feel like sometimes when I'm writing now, even like sometimes I write a song and I'm like, I could hear that on the radio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's a very radio-worthy song. And then I'll listen to other songs, and I'm just like, yeah, dude, that's like, that some dude in his basement is just going to come across that.
Yeah.
And
it's like smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, like he's ashing into his lap. Like,
he's like how about this real music?
That's real music. You know? But that's the thing, is I feel like I have a range of music because I come from, like, a love of so many different kinds of music, you know, that, like the song I'm going to be releasing soon, Without You, is like, it's definitely one of those songs that's like...
When are we going to hear that?
Huh?
When are we going to hear that?
You're probably going to hear it soon.
Do you have any live shows coming?
Do we have any TV appearances scheduled for Adam? Mm-hmm.
Sunday. Sunday's the day. I'm going to release it on SoundCloud. Yeah. The link will be in the description. So I love doing that, by the way. What? Link is going to be in the description.
Yeah, hit that one. Oh, I never imagined I'd be doing that.
Yeah, right?
Oh, I feel a little bit, I'm kidding.
Yeah, but, some of my work is a little more accessible, and I never meant it to be that way. You know, it's just how I was feeling at that moment, and some of my music is a little more like, oh, this doesn't have a chorus. Oh, that's very Bob Dylan-esque, you know, just having 30 verses in a row. You know what I mean? Sometimes I write like that.
Bob Dylan.
Sometimes when I'm writing a song, I'm just like, this song doesn't need a verse, and that's okay.
Yeah. The way she goes.
Do you guys feel like that happens sometimes? Or like you write shit and you're like, I fucking love this, but
follow any like ounce of like normal. I don't know if even use the word normal, I would say. Like just, yeah, just like A, B.
My regular playlist. Like all those weird chords, like just chordal harmony, like that's not accessible. And I don't expect most people who liked the original to like that arrangement.
Yeah.
But that's what I wanted to do with it. Like, I did that for me.
That's your vision.
I didn't do that for anybody else. I was like, I want some weird, open, like big sounding, crunchy chords. I want.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where all the chordal voicings came from. Mm. I wanted that. Like, fuck whoever doesn't like it. I don't give a shit. Like, if you don't like it, that's cool.
That's why people's sounds develop. You know what I mean? Like, you listen for a while. Like, right now, like, I'm all about, like, I've been listening to The Tallest Man on Earth a lot. I love that fucking guy so much. Like, he's so, like, this finger picking is... I'm not going to get into it. I could talk forever. But, like, I'm, like, I've been listening to a lot of him, and I'm really getting into that. So, like, I'm kind of in that mindset. Like, a lot of his, like, singing is, like, less melodic and more, like, just 16th note folky, kind of, like, speaking quickly, having a quick guitar, finger picking. Like
Arlo Guthrie.
Just, like, really just, like, it is what it is. And, like, you know, I really respect that a lot. And a lot of the songs that I like by him are literally just his acoustic guitar and himself.
Yeah.
And so I'm inspired by that. So right now, a lot of the music I'm writing as a result of that has that kind of feel, you know, that's going to change in like a month or two. You know what I mean? Like in a month or two when I'm listening to some other shit, you know what I mean? I'm just like, ooh, I like that.
Yeah. And you get
like, stand on the shoulders of your giants.
And it's funny. If you listen to older Miles takes, his sound, you know, if you heard Chet, he sounds a little bit, Chet Baker actually sounds like the early Miles.
Yeah.
And it's, but a lot of people go through that. Like, it's like finding your sound and finding what sounds good. Oh, well, I like this. So I'm going to try to emulate him.
Right.
All of a sudden, you know, you hear Woody Shaw and you're like, oh, sick, dude, let me try that. And all of a sudden, you know, 20 years down the road, you know, everyone's trying to reach their own sound. Like Art Farmer.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah. Like you just, Lee Morgan.
The other song I have on my SoundCloud, fucking, I can't even think, Mother's Day. Super personal song.
Wow.
I didn't expect it to really be much because, you know, I knew it was like, the song was very personal. Like I have mixed feel. I have mommy issues. I love my biological mother to death. I love you, Mom. I do. Just like there was a lot of anxiety around Mother's Day for me, and I just wrote a song, and like I used like a 5/7 of something, and it was very simple, and like it's just like a 5/7 of this, and I was thinking very, you know, Berklee harmony about it, like even in just the smallest sense, just like, oh, I learned that in harmony this year, I'm gonna just throw that in. I realized like I was just like, that's not my sound, but I tried it.
Okay.
And I have content that portrays that point of my life, you know, where I was using those sort of things. And I feel like that, even though looking back on it now, like I see, I'm just like, I'm proud of the work that I did, but it's not where I am now, but I can still acknowledge that I needed to do that to be where I am now.
Okay.
Yeah. And I need to do what I'm doing now to potentially have the opportunity to do something better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, actually I meant to ask, are you adopted?
Am I adopted?
No,
I'm not adopted.
Damn
no.
It. All right, sorry. Because I thought we had a connection.
No, it was just like divorce, you know, just like that sort of thing.
Sorry,
yeah.
No, I'm adopted. I just didn't know. I was just oh, is he? Sorry. I was a little weird there. No, I just sorry.
I love you, Quincy. I love you, Quincy.
All right, so we're at an hour and 8 minutes, guys.
Oh my goodness.
I guess we should probably let them be free.
Yeah. Is this live?
No.
You should make this live.
I should, I've yet to figure out how to get the audio directly to the camera to do it live.
Again, just jump into something. Just try it. Just do it. We don't know how to do that yet.
Bill O'Reilly said, you just do it live.
Just do it live.
Just do it live.
But guys, thank you so much to Quincy Costello for coming down.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Check us out on YouTube.
at Awaiting Creation. And
iTunes.
Support us on Patreon.
Ooh,
if you'd like to help make this podcast Patreon. Better.
That's right.
Patreon.com/awaiting creation. You can find us on iTunes. We post a clip of the podcast called Highlights to Facebook every week. Starting next week, we will hopefully be releasing 2 videos a week. Wow. One podcast and an instructional kind of informative video with Adam and I in a different format about music and about the writing process in particular. So that will more to be announced about that, but we should be releasing 2 videos a week starting next week. You can find me at facebook.com/MJThompsonMusic or MJThompsonMusic.com. Adam?
Oh, shit. See, this is the problem. I'm pretty sure. It's soundcloud.com/AdamJoeMusic. And it's facebook.com/ATOM. ATOM. Yeah, ATOM. Yeah, you know, because I'm a hipster fuck and I'm stupid. ATOMJOE, Adam Joe.
Nah, you're a good guy.
Yeah.
Quincy, where can we find you? Where can we find your music?
You can. I gotta write it first. No. You know where you can find me? Like, I don't know.
You can find him on the streets of Boston.
From you know, that friend of a friend, you know, that like bought him something one time and didn't ask for any money back. I don't know.
On the stoop.
Stay tuned for more details about Quincy Castello.
Oh my goodness. You know what? That's
he's got some HUD shit coming out.
It's gonna be fire, guys.
Guys are hyping me up. Oh boy.
All right, thank you so much for watching.
Yes, thank you guys.
Much appreciated.
Love you.
See you next week.
Be humble.